just a closer walk with thee. Message is powerful. Just a closer walk with thee. Meaning, God is our friend. God sees us as a friend of God. That is, we are friends with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He said to the disciples, I call you my friends. He's our Lord and Savior. He's God Almighty. We worship him. And yet, he draws us into a friendship with himself. That's a God who's transcendent, but also immanent. The God who is Emmanuel, God with us. Friendship with God is an amazing thought, really, with the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. And the guys brought us into that truth there with that wonderful, just a closer walk with thee. Look at Ephesians 4 for a moment, and as you turn there, thinking about just a closer walk with thee, that Jesus is our friend, our best friend, as well as our Lord and Savior. If you had told me when I was 18 years old in the Marine Corps, 1968, and reading the Bible for the very first time a little bit, if you had told me, David, 2 years from now, you're going to have a closer walk with God. Your best friend is going to be Jesus Christ. And then 3 years from now, David, you're going to be in a college preparing for ministry. And then you're going to go to seminary. Then you're going to teach in that same college the scriptures and encourage young people to go into their ministries. And then you're going to have the privilege of pastoring 3 churches. And the third one will be in New York City. And you'll come when you're in your 40s and you'll still be there when you're in your 60s. If you had told me that when I was 18 years old, I would have said, put your money on the table, fool. It's mine. The Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Amen? And one thing that I've learned over many years, and you have learned with me, is that the Lord really only wants one thing from us. He wants us to glorify him by living our lives, sharing his truth with love. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. He wants us to be instruments of grace. He wants us to give as much grace as we've received from him. That we're known as the people of grace, a church of grace. He transforms us by his love. Amen. He wants his church, and that includes our local expression here at Calvary, to be that place of grace, for us to be those vessels of grace and ambassadors of grace, men and women who are tender-hearted toward people, tender-hearted toward people, tough-minded about the truth, about the gospel, not compromising it. A people that are wise as serpents, wise as snakes, but also innocent as doves. Amen? People who are speaking the truth in love. That's the calling of the Christian. As we become more like Jesus, we speak the truth and share the truth more and more with love, with grace. It's a profound and transformative calling. Eventually, it changes the world. It changes the world. Look at Ephesians 4 in our study in Ephesians. Paul writes in chapter 4, verse 14, so no longer be children, be immature in our faith, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. No longer be men and women who are deceived by false teachers and by other gospels, which we know, according to Galatians, there are no other gospels, amen? There's only one true gospel. Not deceived by even evangelical voices that depart from the scripture and twist it for their own purposes. He says, no longer be deceived by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head. He says, the surest way not to grow in Christ is to be deceived, to be lied to, because the truth doesn't set people free if they don't hear the truth, but hear lies instead. Jesus said, never said lies will set you free, only the truth, amen? And so he says to speak the truth in love. Share the truth at every moment, at every opportunity. Pray for opportunities to share the truth. Now, what is this truth that we're to share in love? What is this truth in particular? I want you to look back in Ephesians for a moment at chapter 1. Look at verse 13. What is this truth specifically that we are to share with love with everyone? It says, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Christ, were sealed with the Holy Spirit who was promised. So when he says we're to live a life sharing the truth with love, being truth and love people, what truth does he mean? He means specifically the truth of the gospel, the good news, reflected in creation. God the Creator who loves his creation, amen? Reflected in the sustaining God who keeps us moment by moment. Reflected in the redeeming God who sends Christ. So the gospel is all about the creation. It's all about the restoration of all things. It's all about God's sustaining grace. It's all about a rescue plan in Christ. When we, broken and lost, finally realize we couldn't find ourselves, we couldn't fix ourselves, we're broken, we've fallen, and we can't get up. We're more broken and lost than we'd ever imagined. We're more loved and forgiven in Christ we could ever dream of. That's the gospel, the life of this Jesus. Amen? His teaching, his miracles, his compassion, his holiness, his death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection bodily from the dead for our justification, his return in power and glory to rule and reign upon the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the gospel. This is the truth, amen, that we're to share. So it means looking for, praying for, taking opportunities to share the hope that's within us in Christ with reverence and with meekness and awe. Amen? That's what we're called to do. And of course, this entire good news is about Jesus. You see that verse 13? In Jesus, you, having heard the word of truth and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus himself. So when we share the gospel, we are to share Jesus. You say, Pastor Dave, people say they share the gospel and don't share Jesus. Well, it happens all the time. Jesus is very controversial. He's very, at times, offensive to people. Amen? He was offensive to many of us for a long time. It can be scary to share Jesus in this culture. It took courage for some people to share Christ with me back when I was a teenager and young adult. Because my response was, get out of my face. Right? It can be scary. So it's easy to leave him out. A kinder, gentler gospel, more politically correct, more acceptable, leaves out sinfulness, moral rebellion, and holiness. And so we're to speak the truth, the gospel, and it's about Jesus. His is the only name under heaven given among men that we can be delivered, forgiven, saved, amen, transformed. It's all about him. So we pray for courage, amen. We look to the persecuted church as an example. We pray for courage, conviction, love, amen. Opportunities. I love that. Look over at chapter 6 for a moment. Spiritual warfare, the whole armor of God. More about this truth that we share, this gospel that we share in love, with grace and mercy. More about this truth. We read in verse 14, therefore stand, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the what? The readiness given for the gospel of peace. This truth, this good news about Jesus is about peace. It's about peace with God. We, in our moral rebellion, starting with the preacher, we declared war on God. And God, all-knowing, all-powerful, who could have nuked me in a second and had every legal, spiritual, and moral right to nuke me and judge me, instead, when I declared war against God, he declared peace on me. And in Christ, we are reconciled to God. He pays the price. That's peace with God, reconciliation, forgiveness. Now no longer an enemy of God, a friend of God. That's the gospel. This gospel of peace doesn't end there. And now, because we have the God of peace and peace with God, we have the peace of God. We have his shalom, his eirene in biblical Greek. We have his peace that passes understanding. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Guard my heart, guard my mind, guard my feelings, my thoughts. In this scary moment, in this moment of bereavement, in this moment of fear, in this moment of regret and disappointment and alienation, and guard me, Lord. And he does. I shared in the first service this message, and of course we had the worship team leading us in the contemporary service this morning at 9:30, as they will tonight as well. And I said, as I was preaching, as I looked at the four wonderful ladies that were leading us in singing in the contemporary band there, I said, and look at Meredith now, this young, wonderful college girl. She just lost her mom. Her mom, a very young woman, very wonderful woman. Meredith just lost her mom. And here she's singing God's praises. Singing God's praises. Singing, you, the Lord, are the one who keeps me, strengthens me, loves me. She's singing. As she and her dad and her sister trust God in the loss of their mom and their wife. You know, also singing in that group of four women leading us this morning was my wife, Sandy. Many of you know that 6 months ago, my wife and I buried our firstborn child, Josh, 39 years old, leaving a beautiful wife and four beautiful granddaughters. And there's my wife, tears in her eyes, but joy in her heart, not about losing our son, but that inner joy, that strength that God gives, because he is the God of peace, and we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. Amen. And there's my wife finding the grace and the strength to sing his praises. Amen. Glory to God. And then, of course, we become ambassadors of peace. We become vessels of peace, peacemakers, witnesses to Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. That's us. That's speaking truth, sharing truth with love. What a privilege. What a responsibility. And as Pastor Mike Luciano preached so powerfully last week, I heard the message on tape because I was with my four granddaughters, spending time with them. We need more time now with them, of course, and we want more time with them. Pastor Michael Luciano, one of our young guns, one of our wonderful young pastors and teachers, is talking about after Easter. Sometimes there's doubt. And he taught it and preached it so powerfully. I listened online. I was so blessed, so encouraged that we need God to keep strengthening us. Amen. And he does. He does. Never leaves us or forsakes us. We become instruments of that peace. Peacemakers. Think about our world, globally and locally, nationally. We're so broken. We are so polarized in our world, in our city. We are divided and hostile, more and more. National, ethnic, of course, is pretty much the same, a synonym, I guess, but national hatreds, divisions, war, ethnic, and then, of course, racial tensions, sadly. And then class hatreds, religious hatreds, right? Gender hatreds. I mean, you can go right down the line. It's horrific. And then think of the need for peace, amen? For the one who makes peace through himself, through the blood of his cross. He reconciles us all because he loves us all and he loves all kinds of people. God has a very eclectic taste in people. That's the gospel. Glory to God. Gospel that changed my life forever. I thank the Lord for that. What a privilege. And so the Lord makes us a people of grace and a place of grace. He does that by using our gifts to build one another up, our spiritual and our natural gifts. He uses it all. And he unleashes the church, amen? He unleashes the church. The greatest power is an unleashed church. Being full-time for God has nothing to do with what you do for a living. There's plenty of people doing so-called spiritual work with very secular hearts. But there are many, yourselves, doing so-called secular work, which doesn't exist in the vocabulary of God, because wherever God is, it's sacred. People doing so-called secular work with very sacred hearts, very spiritual hearts. The Lord says the most powerful witness in the world is unleash the people. Populism at its best. Unleash the people. And he raises up leaders, godly, loving leaders who are part of the fellowship, who he uses to encourage the people and to lead them and to teach them, to care for them, to be with them. Amen? As Jesus was with his disciples. And it all culminates in speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Wow, what a gospel, amen? What a gospel. The Lord said this was going to be a great challenge and that it could get scary. Look at Matthew 10 for a moment. Matthew 10 for a moment. He said, not everybody's going to love your witness. Just like we didn't like people telling us stuff, if you remember, before we knew the Lord, many of us who came as adults to Christ. Man, I don't want to hear it. Just get out of my face. Remember those days? Chapter 10, verse 16, behold, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. He says it's, the world is a jungle, right? It's tough. You see, he's got sheep, and he's got wolves, he's got doves, he's got snakes. It's like being in the woods, like being in the jungle. He says it's rough. We all know being human and living amongst the human race, it's dangerous sometimes. It's ugly sometimes, scary. Sometimes we've been the one that have scared other people. We say sometimes, you know, it's like a zoo out there. Yeah? What do we mean by that? It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's off kilter. Everything's been stood on its head, right? I think the Lord may use all these animal imagery just to give us an idea. That's the world he loves, the people he loves. I remember my wild days of utter moral rebellion. Depression, bitterness, anger, dangerous, right? Thank God for his love and grace. I'm sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. And what he means specifically by wolves here is I'm sending you out with the truth and the love of God in the midst of people who are constantly telling lies. And they're sharing false gospels, and they're deceiving people, and they're destroying people's souls. I'm sending you out there in the midst of all the other gospels, which are not the gospel, all the other ideologies, lifestyles, philosophies of life. I'm sending you out there, and you're going to be now like a sheep. You used to be a wolf, and now you're going to be like a sheep, meaning you're going to be very vulnerable. And in many ways, the wolves have it over you in the sense that they're, from a physical point of view, and the persecution, the danger, the anger, the hatred, they could hurt you. So here's what he says. So when you speak this truth in love as a sheep among the lies and the deception and the anger and the hatred. Be wise as a serpent. You need wisdom. You need to be as smart as a snake. Amen? You need to be as smart as a snake. You need to be real, he means. You need to be practical. You need to focus. You need to think. You need to be intentional. You need to be aware, not naive. Not idealistic in that sense, weak sense. You need to be real, and you need to think. Be wise. But you also need to be as innocent as a dove. You need, in a very real sense, to keep your heart pure with God, because he wants to set your heart free. He wants to release your heart and your head and your mind to share truth and to love people. So he said, make sure there's an innocence about you, no matter what you've done before, no matter what you've been forgiven for. Thank God for that. But you let that innocence, that new life, amen, that freshness, that zeal, that joy, that harmlessness, you let that shine through. Let them see your heart. Amen. Basically, what he's saying is, as you go out there, keep your head about you. Be smart. Keep your wits about you. But let God set your heart free. Be tough-minded about the truth, about the gospel. Be very tender-hearted about people. That's what he means. And that is powerful, amen? That's powerful stuff. Glory to God. May I, you, we be more and more those men and women as the Lord unleashes this congregation, amen? Here and around the world now with in almost 35 countries, thank God. May he continue to do this. Continue to do this. As we are willing, amen, to be used. You know, a couple weeks ago I was driving up to Pennsylvania to see my four granddaughters and my beautiful daughter-in-law, we call her. And because my littlest of the four girls, Lainey girl, had said, Pop, can you come and be my special someone at my school dance with me this year? Because her daddy can't be there now, so. And of course, my heart melted, and I said, I'm on my way. So while I'm going up there, talking about opportunities to speak the truth in love, sometimes they come out of nowhere. Excuse me. I'm driving up to Pennsylvania. I get a little hungry, so I think I'm going to stop. Your girls won't be out of school for 2 or 3 more hours, so I think I'm going to stop and get a little something to eat, a little breakfast. And I was on my way to Dunkin' Donut, which is my favorite. I'm a health nut. You know, it's not only America that drives on Dunkin', it's Dave who drives on Dunkin' as well. So I'm ready to turn into my Dunkin' there, and the people trying to get in there were so many that the cars came out to the end of the driveway of the Dunkin', and then the only way I could turn would be to be in the middle of the street and maybe take a 50-mile-an-hour car in my side. And I said, no, I wasn't born at night, but not last night. So I think I'm going to have to pass on my favorite place to eat breakfast. And I'm going to go down the road. There's a McDonald's about a mile down. So, of course, the Lord had shut Dunkin' down for me there. So I drive another mile, and I get down to McDonald's, and it's almost deserted. And I'm you know, got my sunglasses, my Yankee hat, my jeans, and I'm going to see my granddaughters. I'm happy. I'm looking forward to this. I'm relaxed. So I go in, order some food, and I go, and I'm the only one eating in the whole place. And I'm thinking about my granddaughters and praying for them and looking forward to, you know, busting a few moves with Lainey at the dance, and I was thinking about that. Way in the back of my head, I hear something say, like, are you a Yankee fan? And I, you know, I'm thinking about my granddaughters, and I'm not even really focused on that in my breakfast. And then all of a sudden, a loud voice, hey, man, you're a Yankee fan. So finally, I looked over, and about three tables away is this other guy, casual like me, with a Yankee hat on. And I said, yeah, I'm a Yankee fan, you know. Pastor gets out there, he talks a little different sometimes. Yeah, man, I'm a Yankee fan, you know. I'm also a Met fan. I said, I'm probably the only guy in New York City that is a Yankee and a Met fan. And then he says, well, what do you do in New York City? I said, I'm a pastor. That's why I'm a Yankee and a Met fan, because my people are Yankee and Met fans. So I root for all of them. I said, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor in an amazing church right near Carnegie Hall, Calvary Baptist Church. It's a global church, people from all over the world. It's just an amazing church. Evangelical, we believe the gospel, we believe the scriptures. God changes lives. It was very interesting. I said to him, what do you do? He said, I'm a welder. I said, cool. It's all cool, the fire coming out of that and everything. I mean, I can't do any of that stuff. I'm always amazed when people can do stuff like that. He said, I'm a welder, and I'm on a break having some breakfast. So we just sat there quietly. He's like, you know, 20 feet away. He's not next to me. We're just shouting at each other. And he says, so you're a pastor. I don't think he could quite believe it yet. So I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. He said, can I tell you something? I said, sure. He said, my life's off track. It's off track. He said, I did 7 years in prison. He said, I'm on parole right now, working. He said, I've been shot twice. I've been stabbed 3 times. And he's like from here to over here. And he suddenly jumps right up where he is. And he starts pulling his shirt up and showing me all these bullet marks and all these stab wounds. And he says, you know, but what's really cool, he said? My girlfriend and I are having a baby. We're having a little girl. And of course, I congratulated him on that. Then he said to me, you know, Pastor Dave, he said, you and I were supposed to be together today. This is no accident that we're here this morning. And all I could think of is, at first I missed my Dunkin' coffee, and now I've not getting, you know how you, I didn't think that then, but you know, when I was driving to McDonald's, I think, oh, I would have, that's right, right? So, he said, we were supposed to be here today, together. He said, you know, I'm not sure what my purpose is. I said, Nick, you know, your purpose is to glorify God. You were created to glorify God. Christ came so you could glorify God. Forgive and to set you free. Your purpose is to follow Jesus. It's to follow him. Lord, Savior of your life. Your purpose is to be the man that God creates and redeems you to be. Be the man that loves your girlfriend and loves your baby girl. And then I shared a little of my testimony with him. I said, Nick, the Lord began to reach me in the Marines when I was bitter, angry, hopeless. I started reading the Bible there, I said. I said, nothing compared to the 7 years you spent in state pen. I said, my little thing is peanuts. But I said, for just one little inch, I can relate a little bit to you, because in the service, I did 2 months behind bars in the brig. Nothing like you, but my heart can go out a little bit because of that. And so I cannot even imagine what you went through in 7 years. But I said, that's when I began to learn about God's love and grace. And I said, 2 years later, I said, I was in college again, and I was reading the Bible still every once in a while. And I said, I was reading in Romans 5 where it said, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, died for us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. If while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. I said, that brought me to Christ. I realized as a young man, I couldn't be what I wanted to be. I couldn't be the man I wanted to be. And that I was an enemy of God. I was morally bankrupt. I was rebellious. I was destroying my life. I was helpless. And I gave my life to Christ. And I shared that with him. God wants you to follow him and be a believer in Jesus. To trust him. I said, come visit me in New York. Come down to Calvary and let me introduce you to a few folks there. And he said, you know, I'm going to do that. He said, I'm on parole. I can't leave where I am right now. I said, well, how much more you got? He said, a few more months. I said, well, come down. In the meantime, I gave him information about our church, website, all our messages, the gospel. It's powerful. I urged him, take this seriously. Know the Lord. Know him. Trust him. Let him heal you and forgive you. And then as I was leaving, because I wanted to get to my girls, I had to go. I said, Nick, could I pray for you? He said, yeah, I'd like you to pray for me. So right in the middle of McDonald's, we stood in the middle of McDonald's. And I prayed for him that he'd come to know Christ, that he'd give his life to Christ, that he would grow in his faith, that he would make a difference, find his purpose, that he would love his girlfriend and his daughter, and that he'd be the man God created and redeemed him to be. It was an amazing moment. Amazing moment. Truth and love, right? Truth and love. The Lord really just wants us to be willing, to be available, amen? When the opportunity's there, trust him. Just trust him and say, Lord, here's a deep breath, let's go, right? And he unleashes us, you see. Glory to God. Pray for Nick. Pray for Nick. Look over at Ephesians as we close today. Ephesians chapter 3 at the end. You know, the Lord wants this church, each of us individually and corporately, to be his witnesses. Amen? To love this way, to share truth this way, the way he calls us to share it. At any moment, with anyone, with joy, with faith. And it can be scary. Some of us perhaps are just a little afraid to step out there. But you see, the way God makes us a place of grace and a people of grace is to use us to share grace. We have to share it for it to be a reality, right? And so all he wants from us, starting with the preacher, is to be willing. To start our day, Lord, give me some divine appointments today. Give me people today in my home, in my family, in my workplace, in my neighborhood, or strangers, that I'm going to have the chance to speak the truth, share the truth, the gospel of Jesus, with a spirit of love, a spirit of grace for what I've received and now have the privilege of giving. Amen. That's all he wants. And he says he will use you and me and us. He'll use us so powerfully. We'll be in awe of his power. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. See, he is the one who's able to empower us to do more than we could even imagine. Can't imagine being a witness to that boss who is just such a tyrant. Or perhaps in a difficult family situation, to be that witness to a spouse or to a family or to a child or to a parent. Or a neighbor that you just don't get along with. Can't imagine that I could ever be a witness there. Well, we really can't in ourselves. But if we want to be, God says he'll make it happen. He's got the power to do it. Now to him who's able, not to us who are able, to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we all can ask or think, because our asking and thinking is pretty puny sometimes. According to the power that's at work within us, not our power in us, but the power of the Spirit of God within us. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And that amen means Let it be, so be it. Long before the Beatles made it famous, let it be. God said, amen and amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And all God's willing to speak the truth in people, but scared sometimes, but willing to trust God said, amen. Amen. I'm out of breath. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing time. Touch that man or woman now without Christ. Lead them even in this moment to say, yes, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and to have new life. Bless Nick. Bring Nick and his girlfriend to know you. We'd love that. Then bless his little one on the way. Thank you for this privilege, Lord. Empower our witness at home. That's the toughest place to be a witness sometimes. At school, toughest mission field in the world is the public high school. At college, in the neighborhood, and with the strangers you bring our way. And Lord, unleash your church. Set the people free, Lord. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.